I've got this new thing under here that's kind of like a plate, you know? I took it down when I was, just before I came in and looked in the mirror, and I had this thing on there. I kind of look like Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs. So please don't get confused with that this morning. You know, it's funny because yesterday I was over in Orlando. I had a full day. There was a friend of mine that died. He was in his mid-50s, young guy, heart attack. And it was interesting to be with him because early when I moved down here in the 1980s, he and I were close. And for a good 20 years, we did ministry together, you know, all Young Life and stuff like that. And so it was a lot of stories. It got me to think about the different stories that happen within your own life and the different stories that happen, you know, just in the way we move through life. As I started to think about that after reading the scriptures, I remembered something that happened to me right here, probably somewhere around, I don't know, maybe 12, 14 years ago. It was a Saturday afternoon, and I pulled in to check some things. And as I pulled in, there was another person here, somebody who I'd never seen before, and she was carrying boxes of clothing, and like I think there was a lamp in it. It was all these things, and she was bringing them up to the door right out in front of here, and setting them down in front of the door. And I walked up to her and I said, "Hello, can I help you?" And she said, "Well, I'm moving and I need to get rid of these things, and so I want to leave them here with you so you can give them away." And I looked at her and said, "Well, thank you very much for considering us, but we don't take that kind of things. You know, Habitat for Humanity, which is right across the bridge, or you could go to Hospice right across the bridge to have thrift shops that I'm sure we'd be glad to take that stuff." She said, "Well, I really don't have time to drive across there, and I want you to take them." And so I looked at her and I said, "Listen, I really appreciate that, but we don't take this stuff, so you're going to have to pick it up and go, you know, take it over there." At that point, she was not happy. And let's just say I wasn't real happy. And so she looked at me and she said, "Well, I'm leaving them here." I said, "Listen, lady, you can't leave them here." At that point, she looked at me and said, "Lady," and I thought, yeah, I could think of some other terms. And she said, "You know, who are you anyway? What are you telling me what to do?" And I said, "Well, I happen to be the priest here." "Well, you know what? This church must really stink because you're no good." And she just teared at me. At that point, Marie Ladley, who has been around here for years, starts walking down from the parish house and sees me talking to this lady. And the lady is going off on me, I mean, telling me how everything's falling apart and that, you know, and by God, I should be glad to take her stuff. And at this point, Marie Ladley walks up and looks at the two of us talking. I don't know if she heard what you said, but all of a sudden she said, "Well, if you're the priest, nobody loves you." And Marie Ladley looked at us, "Everybody loves him here. Everybody loves him here." And I was like, thank God it was Marie Ladley that walked up and not somebody else. And then at that point, it just left. The reason I tell that story isn't to tell something that was just kind of interesting. By the way, she did take her stuff with her. I helped her load it. But the reality is this. First impressions. How well do you do on first impressions? And do you start sometimes where your first impression is your only impression? How often do you give a person more of a chance, even if it's gone rough due to yourself or them? You know, as you look at the gospel today, it's an interesting story. It's another parable of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is explaining it again, and he's trying to give an analogy because spiritual truths are usually understood in analogy. Okay? And so he tells about this master who's going away. And when he goes away, he says to one of his slaves, I'm going to give you 5 talents. Do what you can with it. To another, he gives 2 talents. Do what you can do it. To another, 1. Do what you can do with it. And it says very clearly, each given to the ability that they possibly could have. Well, what happens in the story? After he's away, he comes back, and the one who has the 5 talents comes up and tells him, Master, look what I did with the 5 talents. I took your 5 talents, I traded it, and I got 5 more. I got 10 talents. And, you know, I mean, the master's so happy. Good and faithful servant. You know, enter into my joy. The one with the 2, same exact thing. But the one that has the 1 talent, he comes up and he says this, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. You know, for years, I used to read that story as trying to figure out what it was all about at the talents. But the way I read that story now is a little different. The way I read it to you when I read the gospel is the response from the master. I said, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I... Then you have ought to invest my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have released, received my own with interest. But if I read it differently, if I read it like this, you wicked and lazy slave, did you know that I reap where I did not sow and I gather where I did not scatter? If you read it that way, it changes the understanding of it a little bit, at least for me. Because what he's saying to the person that had the 1 talent is not so much that you didn't do what I wanted you to do. You weren't like the other ones who produced more. The problem wasn't that. The problem was that that slave that had the 1 talent never knew the master. Never knew the master. Maybe they had this concept of the master that they got when they were very young, and maybe he came in and was having, you know, a day when he came in and, you know, he was trying to leave things in front of the church door. I don't know. But it's about knowing God that we're really here. You know, you might think, oh, we're here because we come as a community to do things in the community. That's true. Or we come here to the community because, well, you know, I need a little bit of a uplifting thing. Well, that's true. But the reason you come here is to know God. And you get to know God, how? Not by just having your first impression, but you come to know God by embracing a community that hopefully reflects God. In fact, you know, the real, you know, purpose statement of this church is to know God and make him known. Terry Fulham wrote that, I think, first in a little church up in Connecticut. To know God and make him known. What's the first impression of God that you had? Was it a good one or was it not so good? I'll be up front with you. Growing up, my first impression of God was that God was there for me, and by God, I better be good. You know, I kind of had that, as I've said before, you know, sort of that understanding of God, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town, or God's coming to town. He knows when you've been sleeping, he knows when you've been awake, he knows when you've been bad or good, so you better be good for goodness sake. But it's not really that, well, not what God's like. So you knew that I reap where I do not sow, you scatter where I not, you know, gather. I mean, how well do you know God? You know, if you're sitting here this morning, odds are you have more than a first impression. But I wonder how many people that cross your path only have a first impression. I wonder how good we are at making God known sometimes. And that doesn't mean getting run over. But what it means is trying to be patient and kind and loving. Because you see, we're called to be the example of God in the world about us. But we're also called to continue to know God. And it's not a one-shot deal or a two-shot deal or a three-shot deal or a four-shot deal. It's forever deal. It's where you continue get to know God. And the things that come into your life, if you ever based your experience with God on the amount God answered your prayers or not, how good would you have a relationship with God sometimes? I don't know about you, but a lot of my prayers don't get answered the way I want them answered. If I based my relationship with God just on the way that I was raised, well, I know I was always told God loves me, but to tell you the truth, I was scared to death that I'd see God, because I also heard, if you see God face to face, you're going to die. And I used to be thinking, well, I don't want to meet him then. You see, you got to go through the hard times of life and know that God's with you and know that God loves you and know that nothing's going to stop that process. But a lot of us just want sort of that thing, well, I want eternal salvation. I want to get to heaven, and why bother doing the rest of this stuff? Well, then you're not really going to the depth that you're supposed to go to know God. Because to know God means to walk through everything of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, and realize that he's a loving God that's going to be there with us every step of the way. That he doesn't always give us what we want, but he will always meet our needs. That somehow in the mystery of life and the mystery of faith, that he's present with us right here, right now. It doesn't matter how our environment is going. What matters is how open we are in our heart. And when we open our heart more and more to the living God and say, I don't understand why some of these things went on, but I trust that somehow God is with me in the midst of it, then you're going down deep, which is really where God wanted you to go in the first place. To know God and to make him known. How well do we do that? How well do you do that? Or are you still at the place where you say, okay, I'll take what he gave me, I'm not going to mess with it too much, and I'm going to give it back to him because, well, I don't want to tick him off. I don't want to get him angry at me. You see, the kind of God relationship that I believe that we're called to have is where we say, no, I can even irritate him, and he's not going to give up on me. I can even not do everything right, and I know he'll forgive me. That it's not where I got to walk on eggshells around him. It's where I got to be real with him. Because it's when you become real with him that he becomes more real with you. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing this. God loves you. He loved you first before you ever even thought about loving him. And all you got to do is love him back. And you know what? God believed in you first. And all you got to do is believe back in him. And then walk through life with him. Not every 7 days on a Sunday, but every moment of your life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.